Tonight, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Well, we didn't have service here Wednesday night, but we're here tonight to have church, aren't we? How many of you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Why don't you just turn around, shake somebody's hand, say, hello, stranger. Praise the Lord. Play it some more, boys. Let's sing a little bit more of that. Pink. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Brother Samuel, I love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Oh, Jesus, draw me close. Closer, Lord. I desire to worship and obey. praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give Him a real big hand clap of praise. You love Him tonight with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's sure good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's look at our prayer request. Brother Gerald Lush sends this in to please remember the family of Brother Arnold Drost in prayer. At the age of 59 years, Brother Arnold was promoted to glory in the very early hours of Monday morning, November the 19th. Pray God's grace to his family and the assembly of saints to whom he ministered the word in Chatham, Ontario. So we certainly want to pray for that assembly. Brother Arnold's family, let's just commit the abundance of the Lord. Ask God to be with them during this time. I want to remember also Brother Lonnie Jenkins in prayer from Ohio. He's suffering and in much pain as a result of the cancer in his body. Brother Lonnie is a wonderful teacher of the word of the Lord. He's about 81 years old, so we certainly want to pray for those needs tonight. Please continue to pray for Brother Tracy. He's still in the Johnson City Medical Center, so we certainly want to remember Brother Tracy tonight. And Brother Joel Brown sends this in, says he's here, happy and healthy. Zion Emmanuel Brown was born on Monday, 11/19/2012. All is well. Thank you to everyone for your prayers. May God bless you. That's from Joel, Tamika, Micah, and Josiah Brown. And, well, his baby brother here now. So, my goodness. Well, just pray for that family. Praise the Lord. We'll remember Brother Jim Babb tonight. He is sick, unable to be in the house of the Lord. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Jim. Please pray for Brother Ben Davis. He has been sick since Thursday. Still not feeling well tonight. So we certainly want to pray for him. Lord, and touch him. Buddy Love from Irwin called and requested prayer for his mother. She suffered a severe stroke on Thursday. Her name is Opal Love. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. I want to pray for Sister Angie Brown, urgent unspoken prayer request the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that unto the Lord tonight. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about, you know we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems, don't we? We love Him for that, don't we? Because He looks at a need and He sees an opportunity to do something in your life. We just want to believe Him with all of our heart. Brother Bill, come tonight. Brother Bill Yance, God bless you. Glad to have Brother Bill in the house of the Lord with us tonight. Let's join our brother as he leads us to the Lord in prayer. You invite the presence of the Lord into this service. Let's pray with Brother Bill over these prayer requests tonight. We love you, buddy. God bless you. Good to see you.
I'm just here to pray. You all pray with me. Kind Master Jesus, you've heard every name that was called. You saw every hand that was lifted. Now tonight, God, those that are sick, you said in your word that by your stripes were they healed. Now I say, God, what are you going to do about it? It's your word. Heal the people. Touch lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that in this house tonight that revelation would come to our hearts. Increase our faith. That's what we're here for. We're here to learn more about you. And the more that we can learn about you, the closer we can come to your presence. Let the power of God saturate the house tonight with the Holy Ghost of God. And when the minister walks out here to minister the word, set him afire with your glory and the anointed presence of the King. I pray, Lord Jesus, now that every request of prayer that was called, I believe God and I believe that he can fix every one of these problems. Come to every one of us tonight and touch our lives. Manifest yourself to us. We just appreciate you for your mercy and grace for life again today. We honor you for your love to us, for all these blessings we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Brother Bill, do you know that little chorus, Satan, your kingdom's coming down? Sing that for us. I've had a little song on my heart all evening, and I'm glad he's here because I don't know it. But I just was saying it in my mind. Do that for us. We'll help you a little bit. Oh, Satan, your kingdom's coming down. I believe that, don't you? Yeah. Sing that for us tonight.
Well, in order to sing this song right, you're going to be mad at the devil. I said, Satan. Oh, I said, Satan. Everybody join me. I said, Satan. Your kingdom must come down, 'cause I've heard a voice from heaven say, oh Satan, your kingdom has got to come down. Oh, I said, Satan, your kingdom must come down. Watch my lips, I can't hear y'all. I said, Satan, your kingdom, it's about to come down. 'Cause we've heard a voice from heaven say, oh Satan, your kingdom must come down. Well, I'm going to pray till I tear your kingdom down. I'm going to pray till I tear your kingdom down.
Appreciate that, Brother Bill. God bless you tonight. Let's sing a song tonight. We'll be singing that song that Brother Bill just led us in for 10,000 years. Satan, your kingdom did come down. Amen. Aren't you glad to be part of an eternal thing that God's doing in the earth right now? Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come receive the offering tonight, you could come. If you're a visitor tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad you're here. Brother Ward, Brother Arvin Ward, his family. Glad to have them. They're not visiting. They're just back home. So we're not going to count them as visitors, but we're certainly glad to have them in the service tonight. If you're a visitor here, I failed to call your name. May God bless you. We're so glad to have you. All those that are streaming the service tonight, may God bless those folks as well. 10,000 years, we'll just be getting started. Are you glad about that tonight? 10,000 years, we'll just be started. 10,000 years, and we just begun.
All our battles are over.
Hallelujah.
And the victory.
Yes, we do.
For the love. just begun. All our battles are over.
Oh, hallelujah.
And the victory won.
Sweet victory won.
10,000 years.
Hallelujah.
And we've just begun.
Sing this verse with all your heart.
Oh, we will just begin to sing love's sweet story. It is a song that holy angels cannot sing. I've been redeemed,
yes, we have,
by the blood,
hallelujah,
of my precious Savior. Begin to sing love's sweet story. It is a song that holy angels cannot sing.
They can sing, but you can.
I've been redeemed by the blood of my precious Savior.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. We've got some songs we're going to have for you tonight. Sister Lisa Cutts, she has a song for us, if she'll come and sing it this time. And then Sister Lindsay Gilreth is here with us, her and her family, her husband and her and her family. Brother Randall Gisendanner and his, I don't know who all was here with them, but we're certainly glad to have them in the service with us tonight. Sister Lindsay's going to come and give us a song tonight. She'll be singing. We should be here in the morning too. Be here singing tonight for us and then give us another song in the morning. And we're just looking forward to it. Let's enjoy our singers tonight. Can't hardly see her. Is she over there? Yeah, she's over there. Bless her heart.
Before I've been blessed while living here before. that sometimes I wanna run away and hide. Then my spirit grows stronger when I look ahead and see by faith all the many joys that are waiting. And I began to cry, and my mind just fails to know exactly why. I can't explain with tongue or pen the
certainly appreciate her songs tonight. I asked Brother Harry to sing a song just before Brother Donnie comes to bring us the word of the Lord tonight. I am redeemed, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Appreciate our songs tonight, don't we? Praise the Lord. Let's enjoy this just before Brother Donnie comes to preach tonight.
You'll help me sing it. It means redeemed.
Seems like all I could see was a struggle. Haunted by a ghost that lived in my past. Bound up in the shackles of all of my failure, wondering how long is this gonna last. Then you look at this prisoner and say to me, son, stop fighting a fight that I've already won. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I am redeemed. I'm redeemed. All my life I have been called unworthy. Named by the voice of my shame. But when I hear you whisper, child, lift up your hand, I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be the old man inside of me. His day is long dead and gone, because I've got a new name, a new life. I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. No, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Thank God, redeemed.
We can certainly thank God for that tonight. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
Let me just look at y'all for a few minutes. Y'all a sight for sore eyes. Amen. I miss y'all. I do. I miss you. And no, I didn't get a deer. Because you see, I'm not just a deer hunter. I'm a trophy hunter. I've seen a lot of deer, but I'm a trophy hunter. I'm not just a Christian. I'm a bride member. So I set my goals different as far as just going to church. I'm not just a Christian. I'm a member of the bride. You understand what I'm saying? So just going to church, don't cut it for me. Just fitting and being religious, I don't want religion. I want salvation. Amen. Even though I didn't get a deer, y'all will be rejoicing and being benefited by my study time, though. Got a lot of good studying done. I sure appreciate that, too. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we, I love this scripture, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now listen to this. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now Paul doesn't say the natural man cannot receive the things of the Word. But the things of the Spirit of God. Not the Word. Many, many carnal Christians can take many things out of this and say amen to it. That's right. Notice, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now listen to the other part of this. Yet he himself is judged of no man. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. I myself don't determine how spiritual people are because they have dreams or even visions or because they're greatly anointed, because they can sing good, write pretty songs, even preach pretty sermons. I judge a person's spirituality but how they judge, assess, and value and determine everything around them. That's a spiritual person. That's the Bible. He that is spiritual, not feeleth, not quoteth, don't even understand. Bible don't say he understands all things, but he judges. He discerns. He examines, he looks, everything of his life, everything around him, everything he says, everything he takes in. That's a spiritual man or woman. I want to be that kind of person. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight for your word. How we appreciate, Heavenly Father, you making a way that we could be part of such a mystical body. A body that we cannot read ourselves in, we cannot talk ourselves in, but we must be immersed in to this body. We desire to be these type of people. Help us, I pray, Father, that carnality and the carnal mind and the sensual man that each of us are can be laid aside, and we can be so enriched by the presence of God that your very own soul and your mind can pulsate itself through us, Lord. Grant it, I pray, in Jesus' name. And the saint said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. No doubt if I ask each of you to define for me tonight, spiritual. What does it mean to be a spiritual person? What is a spiritual church? What is a spiritual preacher? What makes a spiritual Christian? It'd probably be amazing the different definitions that we would get. Because of a lot of us, our background, we were brought up. And if you come from a Pentecostal background, or even if it was a charismatic background, one that people lean toward supernatural phenomenon, that type of thing, then you would think a spiritual person would be one that went by feelings and dreams and emotions and God said this and God said that and God told me and God told me and God told me. And then we would think that would be a spiritual person. But yet when you look at the way the New Testament actually sets forth spiritual. Now remember, we don't want to pull the Bible and make the Bible line up with our thoughts. But we want our thoughts to actually line up with the Bible. And it's very difficult because once these things become so set in us, it can take years and years for us to ever get it out of us. But yet to think of what spiritual actually was, and what God identified His church as being spiritual. And here Paul wrote about being spiritual actually more than any of the New Testament writers. Jesus used the term, but Paul used it actually more than Jesus, Peter, and all the rest of them put together. So God must have given him an insight of what it would be to be a spiritual person. So here he incorporates this into being spiritually able to discern, which is what I'd like to speak to you about tonight again, is being spiritually discerned. To know that which is around us. The spirit of a man can only be discerned by the Spirit of God. We misjudge one another's motives, objectives. We constantly do it, and we're guilty. All of us are guilty of doing it. And really, we don't know another person's heart. We might think we do. We might judge them, and we'll judge them totally, totally wrong. And it's the same with the Word of God, the ways of God, the mind of God, the character of God, that people would read the Logos of God and think, well, God wants this, this, and this, but without having His Spirit in them when they read the Logos to make it Rhema, then they would totally miss even what's written here in the Word. So when God wanted to make Himself known, He chose, of course, the written path of Logos, but He also chose the indwelling path of the person of the Holy Ghost to live in the human heart. And by doing that, then God would make a way to where His children would be able to be led by that which was written. It would declare the written Word of God, the known path, a roadmap, if you will, to where they would be able to know certain things. Don't even need the Holy Ghost to know certain things. You don't even need the Holy Ghost to know how to get saved. You don't even need the Holy Ghost to know how to be baptized. There's certain things you don't even need the Holy Ghost for, but you'll never be able to complete your journey without it. So God wanted it to be this way. He Himself chose this route. He chose this path. Now He wants now in the placing of the body, dealing with mature Christians, for those that would be spiritual, for those that would be not just deep so much, because a person could be deep theoretically. They could be deep in theology and know all kinds of talk and all types of message cliches and not be one bit spiritual at all. Because they don't judge, they're constantly flying off at the mouth, they're all the time saying things, they're all the time misjudging others. And look, no matter how spiritual people think they are, if they don't discern around them, they're not spiritual by biblical description of a spiritual person. Now God wants us to be spiritual. You believe that? He wants every man, woman, boy, girl. Now this is not just inclusive for the preachers, but God wants every one of us to be a spiritual member of a spiritual body. Now remember, the word spiritual comes from nuos, pneumaticos, pneumos. It's the same Greek word, but it uses many different terms and it spreads on. So it's being spirit influenced, spirit led, spirit indwell. A pneumaticos is that which is operated and influenced by the Spirit. Yet it all comes from the same framework. So he wants us to be a people who are led and impressed by the Spirit of God. That our lives are not directed by the sensual human part that we were born with. Even after you're converted and filled with the Holy Ghost, you still have a natural, carnal part about you that's going to bother you as long as you live. I hate it too, don't you? Yep, by God's grace, we deal with it and we overcome it. Now when Paul sets this forth, let's look at this in verse 14. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now look at this word that he uses, psychikos, which is sensual or belonging to breasts. The principle of animal life. The principle of animal life, which men have in common with the brutes. The sensuous nature with its subjection to appetite and passion, or in other words, it is the animal man. And he's got the Holy Ghost tonight, born again of the Spirit of God. Yet you still have a part of you that is psuche. It is of the world. It is the sensual man or the breast man that is associated with the natural birth. And this man will never be able to understand the things of the Spirit of God. Do you know your flesh will never understand your soul? Your flesh will constantly try to talk you out of doing things that's right. Because to your flesh it makes no sense. When people do things against you, the flesh's way is, get back at them. If they talk against you, talk about them. If they run you down, run them down. That's the way of the flesh. But that's not the way of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost says, turn the other cheek. Well, what do you do after you turn the other cheek? If he led you on that cheek, he'll lead you what to do after the cheek. But you know what? The flesh man will constantly look for repercussion. He'll look for ways to take vengeance. I'll tell you one thing, bless God. Remember, friends, bitterness will grieve the Spirit of God right away from our lives. Whether we're bitter against God, bitter against people, bitter against whatever it is, against the Word of God, it won't grieve the Spirit of God against the man that's talking about you. It'll grieve the Spirit of God out of you. But you see, the natural man looks to this way. And Paul said, in order to be spiritual, we've got to lay this man aside. Why, Paul? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness. 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 Not just a little misunderstanding. The natural man looks at the spiritual things of God and he says, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. It makes no sense whatsoever. And it don't to him. But the spiritual man will look at it and say, oh, but that's my Father's character. That's my Father's nature. That's my Father's projection of His own way that I see in that. And the natural man said, it don't make any sense. The natural man will set in reason with the Word. Now, depending on which one you listen to tonight, you'll sit here in this service, and the natural man will hear me preach, or the spiritual man will hear me preach, and depending on which one you let motivate you, will tell what you get out of this service. Not just this service, but every other service, because we have to struggle through the natural man. You got to lay aside of what you've been through during the day, all your troubles at home, all your troubles in the world, all your troubles on your job and all that. And you got to press and press and say, Lord, I've come to receive from you tonight. I need you, Lord. That ain't the natural man. You've got to subject that natural man and say, shut up. I don't care. I ain't doing going to Walmart after church. I ain't eating after church. I ain't this after church. I'm here to receive from God. Shut up my appetite. Shut up my belly. Shut up my worry. Shut up my troubles. I'm here to receive from the hand of God tonight. And you shut up till church is over. My friends, getting to church is just when the battle starts. It ain't over. We have to struggle while we're here. Notice this sensual man of the breast. The animal man struggles, and he cannot comprehend the things of God. The word natural stands in opposition, of course, in the way that Paul places it. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the spiritual God. So that the natural man is a contrast between the spiritual man. And yet I'm both. And you're both. You are a seed from eternity if you're a part of God. You're an attribute that was in the mind of God before the world ever began. And there's a part about you that's as carnal and stinking flesh just like any other unconverted person out here. Well, glory. But the natural man receiveth not, does not embrace, cannot comprehend, sees no value, rejects them as folly, really. Looks at them and says, well, it makes no sense. Can't you see, friends, why folks around the message are falling away and falling away? They're trying to understand this message to the natural man. Well, there's no record where them people fell off the bridge. There's no record. Do you understand? Archaeologists to this day have never found a record that David ever lived. Do you understand? There's many people in the Bible that you call heroes. Archaeologists and geologists and ologists and morologists have no proof they ever lived. You going to believe them or the Bible? Come on. Do you think science should believe that evolution can have any proof that your father exists? I don't need them to prove it to me. I believe. I believe. Oh, I know they laugh at our belief. To me, it takes more faith to believe what they believe than it does what we believe. The creation story is a very simple story. To believe all the nonsense they believe, it really takes a lot of something. I'm not sure what you'd call it. And the natural man, he looks at us and says, oh, who can believe that there was a God? Where did God come from? Nowhere. He always was. How can you believe a story like that, Brother Donnie? It is so easy for me to believe it. I don't understand why everybody else can't believe it. But my natural man will tell me, now, Donnie, be sensible. Is there really a God? Any of y'all ever goes through them there? You, Brother Donnie? Yeah, me. Just like all the rest of it. Well, how can you prove? I can't prove it. How can I prove this? I can't prove it. It's not what I can prove. It's what I believe. So the natural man cannot receive it, and it sets a warfare then in between you and your soul. So Paul says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why not the Word? Why didn't he say the Logos of God? Friends, think of the theologians that spend their lives, people that go to seminaries, people that have spent years of their life in studying the message. And many can accept those things of the message and still not born again. Why does he separate the things of the Spirit of God from the Word? Because he knows a dead man with a dead soul, with a dead nature can receive a dead letter. But it takes a live man with a living soul, with a living gene of God inside of him to receive the things of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah! Any dead theologian can go through this Bible and receive certain parts of it. But it takes a living person to receive the things of a living being. Hallelujah! Why? Why? They're foolish. So you take a man with a dead soul. Yet he has earphones stuck in his ears. Listening to Brother Branham every day. And yet has a dead soul. Now there'll be certain things out of that message he'll die for. Die for Brother Branham being a prophet. He'd give his life for it. There's people in this message that would lay down for the cause that William Branham was a prophet of God. And they are just as dead in their soul as any denominational believer. Why? Because when the Spirit goes to speaking to the church, they know nothing about it. To sit under a pastor, absolutely not. They know nothing about it. Come on, church. When the Holy Ghost, oh my, will they like a Simeon, be it unto me according to thy rhema. Absolutely not. Why? They're dead. I mean, you take somebody that's not a very good theologian, they can't even quote 10 quotes word for word, but they have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. Oh, glory. They may not be able to explain predestination and all that sort of thing, but all they know is they met a person. And this message is not a bunch of doctrine. It don't produce a bunch of bitterness and hatefulness. Come on, children. It produces a person, Jesus Christ. Now, notice the natural man. He cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, they're not discerned by the Word. Now, the Spirit uses the Word, but they're not discerned by the Word.
You see, spiritually discerned is not typing in something on your computer and see if you can find a quote that says for, against, or yes or no. Now we do that. We do that. We believe in doing that. But that's not spiritual discernment. Because you see, Satan can take this word and put it together in such a way that unless you've got discernment, he knows how to tie this word together and he's confused the very elect and deceive them if it were possible. But you can't deceive them because they are the word. Right? So Satan can put it together. People can take this Bible and put it together and prove anything they want to prove just about. And they can take the message and put it the same way, but you can't deceive the bride because they've got spiritual discernment. No. I'm not talking about this. Somebody behind me, your name is so-and-so, you live in so-and-so. This kind of discernment is much more value to you than what you hear on the tapes. I love to hear those discernments. They're wonderful. But none of them will give me the ability to know right from wrong. Glory. Notice this. The natural man, psychikos, receiveth not to open or to open up with welcome arms the things of the Spirit of God. Paul says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can they be, can he know, look at this word, perceive, understand, to learn to know, come to know, get a knowledge to perceive, to become acquainted with. To the Greeks, this meant to know facts. But these facts may or may not affect one's conduct. To the Jew, true knowledge always manifested itself in one's conduct. One did not know something until that fact had a practical outworking in his life. I believe we got a lot of Greek message believers. They know lots of facts, but it sure don't prove the right kind of life. And a lot of them don't think you have to. Oh, you don't have to love everybody. You don't have to forgive your neighbor. You don't have to do all that sort of thing. I don't want them kind of facts. I want the kind of facts that proves a practical outworking in my life that somebody in meeting me will know Jesus is still alive. Oh, man, let them rest shoulders with us and let them know that there is a God because I met him today in Walmart. I met him today at Lowe's. I saw there was something about that woman that was different. But many of us think to know, dates, places, pages, paragraph numbers, that gives us something. It does. Gives us a lot more stuff to remember in our mind. When you get older, it won't matter no way. You want to know who you are. So if it ain't deeper than your knowledge, I feel sorry for you. But to really know, the natural man cannot know the things of the Spirit of God. He gathers them as facts, logos. But to apply them, to hear the voice of the Spirit, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I wonder why John didn't say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the prophet says. Or the pastor. Or the teacher. He did say that. Because if you got the Spirit, you'll hear it through the prophet, through the pastor, through the teacher. As a matter of fact, if God wants to, he can let you hear it through a little bird. You're just all wore out and down and worried, and you hear little bird saying, boy, that little bird goes to playing on them heartstrings in your heart. Man, alive, you felt like you're having revival. Why? Because you are open contact for the voice of the Spirit. Notice this. So this natural carnal man, he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. That is, they are perceived by the aid of the Holy Spirit. So even though he reads them, even though he hears them, even though he listens to them in the form of tape or CD, he still can't know them unless the Spirit aids him. And he gives him the ability to perceive by gnosis, to understand what is being said. Now to many it just becomes facts. But now watch this. Paul says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually by aid of the Holy Ghost, is what spiritually means. Not a concordance, not a computer, not clicking on Greek words. I love that too, but that still ain't it. The Holy Ghost, they are spiritually, what's this word? Discerned, examine, judge, to investigate, inquire into, scrutinize, sift, question, determine the excellence or defects of any person or thing. Now remember, this is spiritual aid. This is not by concordance. Okay, here it is. Your hair is 1/8 of an inch over your ear. You're an infidel. You got on a red sweater tonight. Brother, don't you know you're not supposed to wear red? So people, they want to become so legal. Why? That's the logos, carnal side. And without that, they have no leadership in their lives. Come on, church. I'll tell you one thing. We've already moved into it. As time goes on, it's going to get even worse. Because Satan will progress, sin will progress, science will progress, the age will progress, and there'll be many, many things out yonder that will be sin that the message does not mention. And you know, a lot of message folks are without a quote, you can't preach it. But let me just update you. Whether I have a quote or not, if something is sin, I have a right to preach on it. Right, exactly right. So does every man of God. Because the Holy Ghost, the message will never be updated. God will never send Brother Ben back and add updates, but the Spirit updates. It's not the Logos, glory to God. It's not the Logos that God will update. It is the spiritual discernment of a child of God. But those that can only follow the quotes, the Logos, they have no spiritual leading. So they look at something, they find no quote against it, so it must be okay. Why? No king. No king on the throne of their heart. Don't misunderstand me. If Satan invents 1,385,994,337 more sins between now and my death, or now and the rapture, the Holy Ghost in me will still lead me of what's right and wrong. Even though there may not be one scripture that says it or one quote that says it, but the Holy Ghost and a spiritual child of God will help them rightfully discern this is not right. How could it do it? Because you've got him there as a paracletos, not only to help you when you're down, not only help you when you're weary, but when you're facing things that are right or wrong. Oh, you say everything's gray anymore. No, it ain't gray. Not to the Holy Ghost Christian. The natural man looks at, oh, I don't see nothing wrong with that. So-and-so does this, and so-and-so says that, and so-and-so goes here, and so-and-so's there. Well, if so-and-so is your example, go ahead and follow so-and-so. You and so-and-so go on to hell if you want to. But that's not my example. Now, watch this in verse 15. Now, he moves from the natural man to the spiritual man. But he that is spiritual... I love the meaning of this word. Belonging to the divine spirit. The Holy Ghost. One who is filled with and governed by. Amen. You ain't just got it in you to make you talk in tongues. You ain't just got it in you to anoint you to preach or sing. But he acts as the governor of your life. This is a spiritual New Testament believer. So tell me then, how can we have so much anger, hatred, bitterness, selfishness, jealousy, all that in the message from the pulpit to the back door, and claiming we're led of the Spirit of God and we're spiritual? Do you understand that God has no bitterness in him. God has no evil in him. God has nothing in him to hurt the innocent. God has nothing in him to despise or get even in the human way that we think about. There's nothing in him. So if he's in me and governs me, how can I say I'm led of the Spirit of God and hate you? How can I say I'm led of the Spirit of God and do things to try to hurt God's children when the Spirit of God in me should be out there reaching out and helping and lifting up people, not hurting? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So a man, woman, boy, or girl then that is spiritual, indwelt by the Spirit of God. Now, here is the Bible definition of a spiritual person. One who is indwelt and governed by the Holy Ghost. Then they don't just change jobs because they get more money down in, you know, wherever it would be than they would be in another place. They don't just go here and go there because, well, it's an impulse. That's just what I want to do. They're not governed by their flesh. They're governed by the Spirit of God. They are governed by something that is greater than themselves. They don't even understand it themselves. But it's a pulsation beyond them which drives them to do it. Oh, glory to God. And yet it is actually the governor of their life. Now the governor, of course, of Tennessee lives in the capital of Tennessee. He has certain things he can do that you and I cannot do. Even though we are Tennesseans, even though we live in this state and we're part of this state, but the governor has authority. It is the governor's name on certain bills. It is the governor's name here and there and there. The governor lives in the governor's mansion, not me and you, Brother Frank. And that's because we're not the governor. So the Holy Ghost has authority that I don't have over my own body. The Holy Ghost can say, do this and don't do that. Why? He's the governor of this house. Praise the Lord. That's a spiritual person. Oh, ain't that wonderful? Oh, children, what kind of church would he have on this hill if every person here born of the Spirit of God would be governed by the Holy Ghost? What kind of message people would we be? What kind of preachers would the message preachers be if we every preacher was governed by this? But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now watch. Two marks, two identifications of a person that is spiritual. Watch Paul, how he that is spiritual judgeth. So a man, woman, boy, or girl that is spiritual, they judge all things. Now they're not going around, you're a devil, you're a serpent seed. Jesus knew who was serpent seed. I dare say there's probably hardly been nobody else ever lived on the earth that knew who was. Now people may call me and you serpent seed, they'll probably say they're lying because they don't know that. I can tell you if you don't straighten up your life and this and that and the other, that's one thing. But for me to tell you and know your destiny, I don't know anybody's destiny. Don't want to. Come on. But here I'm not talking about judging people. You sitting there as the judge, and that's not even the word that Paul uses. It is discerning all things. So it's discerning what's motivating you. It's discerning what's motivating you in your life and your business and your walk with God. Everything. You're discerning all things. You're discerning, should I wear this? Should I say that? Should I dress this way? Should I do that? A spiritual man, a spiritual woman. Don't have to call Brother Donnie for every little thing. But they've got the Holy Ghost living on the inside. And he discerns when Brother Donnie's out of town. Oh, God. Now listen, part one is a spiritual person judges all things. Part two is they're free from judgment themselves. Yet he himself is judged of no man. You see, it's one of the marks of maturity, discernment. I hate to say it, but this preacher's been preaching this message for 50 years. Are as immature as a bunch of babies. They'll hear something saying, they'll get out in the pulpit and take their pulpit and preach, 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 preach. don't even know that what they heard was gossip and wasn't even truth in the first place. Now they took that whole service and beat the people to death, and the people left hungry because he wasn't led of the Spirit of God. You see, Brother Branham, whenever Brother Branham looked out that day and that Catholic priest was sitting out there, remember his name? Talked about him in 1965, and he said, I thought that man is disagreeing with everything I said. But that same man come up and said, either the church has got to get out of the mess it's in, or we got to get out of the mess the church is in. Now, Brother Branham thought in his mind that man was totally disagreeing. Hold on, everybody, but you know what? Brother Branham was wrong. That was not the Holy Ghost that told Brother Branham that. That was Brother Branham. Brother Donnie has told me a lot of things. Has Terry ever told you things? Has David ever told? Come on now, church, don't get quiet on me. Well, I guarantee you Jack's told Jack a lot of things that wasn't even true. But you know what? If Donnie, the inside man, will listen to the Holy Ghost when Donnie goes to telling Donnie things, then the real Donnie will say, shut up, Donnie. That's not spiritually discerned. There's something wrong with that. But yeah, we sing because preacher said, glory to God, I feel it all over me. We think that's a spiritual man. That is a spiritual man. I've seen women preachers in Pentecost more anointed than most message preachers I ever run into. Woo! Y'all ever been in any snake handler meetings? Huh? You talking about anointing? I never did actually go to one. Carol went to one time. And no, she didn't handle the snake, in case you're wondering. But you're talking about anointing and emotion and rhythm and music and this and that and the other. But you know what? When I read that in Mark, I come up with a different story than a rattlesnake. I handle a rattlesnake on the end of a hoe. I handle a copperhead on the end of a hoe. Jesus said they shall, but he wasn't talking about me when he talked about that. They. If I'm going to handle one, I'm going to handle one the way Paul did when he grabbed a hold of it and Paul shook him off in the fire. I ain't going to worship one in church, which is what they're doing. They're worshiping the devil. But yet they got a scripture, but it's not spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. So he has the ability to judge and judge correctly. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Now, will not people judge the real elect? Certainly they will. But a real mature person that knows where they are refuses to be belittled by false judgment pronounced upon them by others. You can call me a devil all night long. You can make fun of me all night long. If I'm where I need to be and I'm in the right frame of mind, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm not going to get down over it. That shows you we got some moving up we need to do. Come on now. Because things like that still bother me and they still bother you. Don't sit there and look at me like you're spiritual. Because part of being spiritual is you discern and then you turn around. Why, Brother Donnie? Because you know who you are. You know where you stand. You know your motives. You know your objective. And therefore, when people will judge you incorrectly, you refuse to be brought under that judgment and decategorize yourself as a child of God because they say you're a devil. They call Jesus a Samaritan. They call him illegitimate. Same way not well thou art a Samaritan that has a devil. You imagine Jesus going, oh, they call me devil. Hey. I ain't going back to Nazareth no more. They run me out. Didn't even slow him down. Why? He knew he wasn't no devil. and he gave him faith in his position. So let them say what they wanted to say. He refused, even when Satan said, if you're the Son of God. He never even answered that part of the temptation. Friends, don't waste your time trying to tell the devil you're saved. You know who you are. He don't believe it in no way, and he don't matter. You know who you are. You know you're a child of God. He goes debating that with you just to arch your ignorance. Devil, shut up. I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm saved. I know I'm part of this world. I refuse to let you judge me. You have no right, Satan, to judge me. Now let's bring it on down one more step. It's one thing for people out there to judge you. It's another thing for you to judge yourself. And judge yourself wrong. Because the natural man, looking at your mistakes, looking at your shortcomings, then trying to judge your soul by the humanity, the body that you're imprisoned in. This is not me. You've never seen the real me, and I've never seen the real you. Then for Donnie Reagan to judge this seed in me. No! No! He has no right to tell me I'm a creature of time. He is, yes, but not my soul. He that is spiritual scrutinizes, reproves, investigates. Amen. The well-taught Christian looks into it. Friends, I wonder how much gossip and lies would be stopped in this church and around the message if people really wanted to be spiritual. You know what? I'm convinced one thing about Facebook. No doubt it could be a good thing. But I believe it gives a lot of people a pulpit, women included. Women that can't preach in the church, they preach on Facebook. Ooh, I don't care if you get quiet or not. Teenagers that ain't called to preach and get on and go to rattling about this and rattling about that, hanging out our dirty laundry for the world. What in the world is the matter with us? And people want to tell me they're spiritual. I don't care how much they think they're spiritual. Anybody that's spiritual judges all things, and that is not of God. Well, I kind of had an advantage on you all. I kind of knew how this was going to go, and y'all didn't. Poor little critters, y'all so looking forward to hearing me preach tonight. Friends, how can we be like Christ and be like the world at the same time? When Jesus himself said, when they do you evil and they cast your name out as evil, pray for them and rejoice. But you can't do that and do the Facebook rhetoric too now. You got to do one or the other. You can't do both. Don't you come back on me with I felt led. A lot of men felt led to leave their wife and marry somebody else's too. Of course, we know who led them to do that. It wasn't the Holy Ghost. So what if every one of us would begin to judge, not by partiality now, not by opinion, not by rhetoric, not by tradition, but by the Word and the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God? Amen. It's amazing how many preachers have heard me preach different things, and they hear one part of a service and get fighting mad, and then they take a series and preach the very opposite. And I think, why? Well, what's the purpose? I don't understand. Why is it that somebody hear you say something, or you, and they got to get back at you. They got to get back at you. Is that discernment? No, it's not discernment at all. Now, whenever Jesus was here upon the earth, he was not just a Logos man, but he was a Rhema man. Amen. He was born Logos, but he became Rhema whenever the Holy Ghost filled him at the river. Because my words are spirit and life. Logos is a dead letter. Come on now. We do not want to just be Logos Christian. Well, Brother Bam said, Brother Bam said, Jesus said, Brother Bam said, Brother Bam said, Brother Bam said. We want to be a living epistle, known and read of all men. What if every one of you, men, women, boys and girls, me included, deacons, trustees, every minister here at our church, would judge everything we do? What we say, where we go, who we have fellowship with, what we repeat. Now watch, one of the signs of the spiritual person is that they discern these things. And in turn, as Paul said, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Now you may be judged, condemned, depreciated, life got made fun of, but it does not affect him. He's not saying this won't happen, but he is not going to allow his image of his soul to be shaped in the form of gossip. I believe you're a devil. I believe this, that, and the other. There's all kinds of folks that think I've crossed the line. Oh, yeah, absolutely right. They feel sorry for you folks. They pray for y'all all the time. I appreciate that, don't you? They pray for y'all all the time, but your eyes will come open because ever since here I stand, they done figure I crossed the line and I'm a blasphemer. You know what? I don't get mad at them folks. I just pray for them. But I know I ain't no blasphemer. I'm a Christian, so I refuse to be brought into the image of what people say about me because I know my heart. I know my soul. You know yours. But if we're not careful, somebody said so-and-so, some other people in the church don't like me. I don't feel welcome no more. And you know what? You will let those words shape you. And you'll let them words shape how you come to this church. Then you are being judged and they are pulling you into that category and they're saying you don't fit here, you don't belong here, and you'll allow yourself to fit into that mold. Amen. I want every one of you folks to like me. I want y'all to shake hands with me. But if you don't, I'm coming you anyhow. There's only one person that can make me leave this church. That's God. Now, if y'all get tired of hearing me preach, you can bump me out. You still can't make me leave. If God put me here, I ain't leaving. You know what? If every one of you come in with that frame, same frame of mind, I believe God set me here and I ain't leaving. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be part of what God said and said. Oh, somebody said so-and-so, said so-and-so, said so-and-so, said you was fat. Well, are you? I can't believe they call me fat. I can't go to a church where they call me fat. Well, they're going to call you something. If you're skinny, they'll call you skinny. If you're fat, they'll call you fat. They're going to say something. And if you're not careful, you'll come in and try to figure out, was it you? Was it you? Somebody here called me fat. Could have been a liar that told you that. A fat liar, you know. Fat tongue, fat jaw, fat mouth. And you'll allow your attitude to be shaped and judged into that image. Instead of coming in here and sitting there and saying, Lord, I don't know who said that. I don't even know for sure that anybody did say it. But I believe this is a man of God here. I believe this is a church. I believe the word is being preached. I believe, God, I need you. I believe you sent me here. I ain't let nothing shape me. I refuse to be judged. I refuse to bring myself into the image of their judgment. Oh, this is scorching me alive, man. I got some moving up to do. Y'all sitting there looking at me like you don't. Oh, my. Notice this. The words that Paul used, autos dihup, odinios akondreo. Men may pass judgment on him, But the spiritual man refuses to accept the judgment or the decision of his ignorant judges. Watch this. He stands superior to the word of his judges. Now don't raise your hands, but I wonder how many of us are affected by such things. A singer, a musician, a song leader, a deacon, a trustee. It's never encouraging words that discourages the deacon. It's discouraging words. It's never encouraging words that discourages a preacher. It's discouraging words. You preach too long. I've heard that before. I didn't like the way you said that. I didn't like this. I didn't like that. A singer gets out. They're just doing that to be seen. And Satan will always make a way for that singer to hear that. And what will happen then? That singer, 9 times out of 10, won't get back up no more. And they'll let that one person shape them. They have now come under the false judgment of an individual that probably wasn't even filled with the Holy Ghost anyway. And they search their heart and said, that's not true, that's not true. But they won't get back up and sing again because they've allowed themselves to be brought into the judgment of another, which is false. Do you understand, children? We're not doing this for glory. We're not doing it to be seen. We're doing it for the kingdom of God. How many needs to grow with me? Will it stop folks from passing judgment on us? Of course not. Does God expect these preaching and things like that to stop the people? No. But what He expects us to do is grow up and mature. Do you understand? There's two ways that we can walk this way. It's the highway and the low road. You can be brought down on the low road to those who become, you become like them. You be turned bad for evil and all that sort of thing. And you become bitter the way they become bitter. Or there is a high road. You can step above it. Let them talk about you, run you down, tell lies. You can do all that sort of thing. Or you can go the high road the way Jesus went. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Pray that God will have mercy on them. Come on. You remember the quote Brother Bram gave us? I found it again the other day in 1958 in Chattanooga. Brother Bram said, brothers, if I found favor on your side, let me tell you this. Somebody talks you bad about you, runs you down. He said, let me tell you what to do. Take them before the throne of God. And don't do it in a way of legalism, but he said, go there feeling sorry for that brother. He said, I don't think you could go before the throne of God and stand there with any brother. And he said, not go to feeling sorry for him and let God go to dealing with your heart and you'll come back down to the earth. Maybe understanding it. He said, don't even mention that. That's the highway. The Facebook way is the low road. Tell everybody and their brother. You can't do both. Well, so I'm going to walk both. You're going to be as bow-legged as a cowboy. You can't put one foot on the low road and the other. Where are you going? I'm making her, brother. Yeah, but you're sure all going awful slow, pal. You could go a lot better if you get them legs together and get on this highway and rise above it. I know. It's this. The spiritual man, he hears that. Does it hurt him? It hurts him deeply. But he refuses to come from this road to this road. He refuses for what people misjudge him to be brought down on their level. Now believe it or not, friends, I could preach just about every weekend on stuff that people saying about me. I hear it all the time, all over the world. Or I can preach the word. Amen. Now, be honest with you, I told Brother Darrell the other day, I said, I'll tell you, I kind of hope I don't die for a while because I'm not sure what some preachers would preach if I did. Which is absolute nonsense to me. Surely there's more to preach on than Donnie Reagan. Surely there's more to preach on than other churches and other preachers. Paul said, preach the word. preach the word, we can spend our time on all that defending ourselves, defending, or we can defend the cross and the power of Christ and the blood and mercy. Or we can let them bring us into this, and now we become judged and take on what they are saying. And shout every step of the way. And be so anointed and feel the Holy Ghost all over us. And think we're spiritual. But he that is spiritual discerns. And he that is spiritual refuses to allow his soul to be brought into false judgment. By others and even by himself. I have to remind myself constantly, and I set myself down and I talk to myself. And I'm glad some of y'all don't see me, because you'd think I'm worse idiot than what you think I am now. And I set myself down and said, it's time for me and you to have a talk, boy. And I know it's weird, but my soul uses my mouth and tells my mouth to shut up. It's time for you to understand. You don't run this house. You're just the house. You ain't the boss of this house. I'm the boss of this house. And you're going to do what I want to do. I know you don't want to, but you're going to anyhow. I need to go to church, and I need your left foot to push the gas pedal. I need your right hand to turn the key on. I need to borrow the more ugly your ears of yours. I need to go to the house of God, and you're going to take me. And then I'm going to change you in the last days for submitting to me going to the house of God. Oh, glory to God. If I could just bring him subject, then my soul will lead my body to the greatest reward it could ever have. My soul will lead my body to a body change. Notice this in verse 16. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, why didn't Paul say word? Why didn't Paul say scriptures? Now we do. We have the scriptures. But remember now, Brother Ben tells us in Spoken Word's original seed, the bride not only has the word, but she has the mind to know what he wants done with the word. Don't you see? We don't just need the word. We've got to have the right mind to know what to do with it. Glory to God. Aren't you glad for language? Now what if you just had a bunch of words, a bunch of letters of the alphabet, and your teachers told you how to put them letters together and make words, but they never taught you the skill of language to be able to put those letters to words, those words to make consonants and vowels and make adverbs and adjectives and all these sorts of things and put them together in a discernible language. And your mind must take those letters and words and put them together to know what to do with them to make sense out of them. And it would got tape after tape, quote after quote after quote. But friends, we must have the right mind to make a language out of the message. For who hath known? Now remember this thought that Paul is saying. Who knows the spirit of a man save that man? And who knows the spirit, the things of the spirit of God save God that would dwell in that man? Now here he goes another step. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Nous. Understanding. Capacity for spiritual truth. The faculty of perceiving divine things. Don't you see why we need the Holy Ghost? Donnie Reagan's mind cannot perceive spiritual things. I'll go toward the carnal way every time. And you will too. And I hope you don't think I'm crazy, but I've actually got two minds. Not two brains, but two minds. I've still got a carnal mind. That's what gets me down, weary, thinking you folks don't like to hear me preach no more, thinking I'm getting too old to preach, thinking I need to retire. That's total carnality. Praise the Lord. Thinking God don't love you, the church don't love you, that's your carnal mind. But on the other hand, I have got the nous of Christ himself, which gives me the ability to receive spiritual understanding from where? Where does Jesus get it from? The Father. Now notice, of recognizing goodness and of hating evil. Now watch what this mind does. It gives you the ability to spiritually discern. Do you understand that brothers in the Lord, or brothers in the flesh, they might be so contrasting one to the other in the human part, but the Spirit of God in each of those brothers would give them the ability to recognize the Spirit of God in the other. But if they do not have that, or that's all clouded up, they will judge by the flesh. You're the devil. You're serpent's seed. You and me clash, and if you clash with me, you gotta be the devil. But you see, the mind of Christ will pull back layers of skin and layers of conflict and layers of difference and be able to discern in that man's heart. It's the same Spirit that's in me. In that sister's heart, though we clash in the flesh, she's so emotional and oh my, she aggravates the fire. I mean, she hits me in the head and oh, why can't she be still and know that I'm God? Come on now, let's be true and real. Depending on how you're made emotionally, you'll look for them scriptures and them quotes that suit you. And the person that's real ecstatic and real emotional, it'll quicken your mortal body. Glory to God. Psalms 46 is not one of their favorite. Be still and know that I'm God. They think they can't worship in church. But the real spiritual part may look past that brother. But he's totally ecstatic. He's wilding a buck when he does this. You think, dear God, revival's broke loose in Happy Valley. And you're nearly hanging from the chandeliers. But the Spirit of God in each of you, pull back the emotions, pull back the flesh, will be able to discern in that man is my Father. And that man would look at you once you get off the chandelier, get calmed down, get all the sweat wiped off of you, all the slobbers and everything, and would look at you and say, Lord, he's a mess. But in him is my Father. Can't you see, friends? Can't you see what we do? We are so guilty of judging wrong. Because we judge by this. We judge by our likes and our dislikes, our preferences and the things we like and what we don't like. And that's the judgment. That's not what we judge by. That's not the discerning ability. Some of you can't receive from preachers because he's not an emotional enough for you. Or he's too emotional. You're judging by this. What if every Holy Ghost filled person in this building tonight and every person hearing this service from this night on would determine, God, by your help and your grace, I want to walk by the nous of Christ. That before I would repeat something or say something about another brother, I would say, now what benefit is that going to be? Is that going to help that brother? Is that going to benefit the kingdom of God? Or is that gossip? Or is that rumor? Or, Lord, why am I doing this? And why am I going to do that? Amen. Now, friends, you know, maybe I know I'm not very smart, but if we don't believe these things, why do we even profess to be Christians? Are we any different than the rest of these denominations out here that pick and choose of what they want? Are we any different as message people when we pick and choose?
Don't raise your hands, but how many of y'all are spiritual? Watch this. Oh God. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have not going to get. We've already got it. The mind of Christ, which is the views, the feelings, the temperament being influenced by his spirit. So Jesus hates rock and roll. And I've got his mind. I'll have to hate it. So I won't be able to dress it up and bring it in the church and call it gospel when it's still rock and roll. Huh? If Jesus hates a certain way women would dress, or a certain way men would dress, or certain things that we'd say, or certain things we'd do, and that's his mind, and I have the same mind, would not it make me feel identical? If it's his mind, then he would look at that and in his own body and say, I hate rock and roll. And then Jesus and me with his mind say, I love rock and roll. Couldn't. Can't you see how easy the rapture will be? On that day from the throne of God, he will step out from the mediatorial work, change his clothes, and all he has to do is project that thought in his mind. Every member on the earth with that same thought, their bodies will start changing. Don't you see, we don't need emails. We don't need Jesus to text us. Hey, text, get ready for the rapture's coming. We've got what already we need. We've got the mind of Christ. So this is his feeling. So he thinks this is rapture day. And all of a sudden my body goes to thinking, it's rapture day. Your body, wherever you are, Africa, all over the world. Why? Because it's one mind. You don't have to have a new tape. Don't have to have a new sermon. Everybody logged into Happy Valley. It's not logged into Happy Valley. It's logged into the mind of Christ. Then from that mind, he projects one thought. And globally, even those that are down in the dirt, their bodies will be called up out of the grave. Let's stand. So watch by our judgment concerning spiritual things. By the mindset, our ambitions, our goals, to have the mind of Christ, to view things in the same way he does. Why do we argue with people? Why do you husbands and wives get into disagreements? Your children with you, brothers and sisters and all that. Why would we do that? Because we have difference of opinions. Right? God don't want everyone to be a yes person. Yes, that's right. You're always right. You're always right. But what if every person somehow could have the same mind? God supernaturally would change all of his children. Some would be in black bodies. They'd be Negroes. Some would be Chinese. Some would be the South Africans. Some would be Tennesseans. Some would be the American Native, the Indians. But yet all of them received one mind. Then they would not look through racial slurs and racial colors. Because God don't. God don't look at a black man and call him racial slurs. God don't look at a white man and call him racial slurs. God don't look at a Jew or a Palestinian or whatever more. Right? What if that mind, and it is in the elect, would step in every member of God's body? How could Satan ever, ever, ever stop the rapture from taking place? I don't want this to happen to me just before the rapture. I want to be spiritual now. I've been so wrong for so many years of my life. I just kind of had this notion I would be like to be right for a little while before I die. Wouldn't you? I've been serving the Lord since I was 12 years old. I'm 56. 44 years of my life. Been preaching since I was 18. And most of that, I've been wrong about so many things. And one difference between me and you is I can be honest. I've been so wrong. But I'd sure like to be right. And I realize the only way for me to be right is to remain teachable. Teachable. To never feel like I have arrived and there's nobody above me. Because I'm fixing to head down when I get that attitude. May God help us. You feel this way? I want to be spiritual. Spiritual. I've misjudged so many things. I've looked at the outward part. Let the natural man guide me. Seems sensible. Seems probable. Seems like the right thing to do. But my emotions or my feelings. And the end result was so wrong. All because I didn't listen to the mind of Christ. You with me? You have to? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, it's not a great marvel to me that I could love you and I could need you so desperately. But how you could love me is what overwhelms me. And how, Lord God, as your prophet said, that you are not complete without us. That's one of the statements I have to ponder over and ponder over. And I know that that being said, you're not just talking about the human element, the frailty part, but that part which proceeded from you. How many situations have I got into, and these people with me, that if we would have spiritually discerned the situation, it could have been totally avoided. How many adulteries? How many other kinds of sins have we fallen into, Lord? Had we went by discernment, the Spirit of God would look beyond what the natural man saw and made a way of escape. How we thank you that you're merciful to us, that even when we fall flat of our face, you're there to help us, Lord. For many years of my life, I've been wrong in what a spiritual person would be. Back in Pentecost, I thought it was one who was anointed, who was fasting constantly. And it was your grace on our ignorance that we didn't die, really, as much as we fasted and did, and putting up tents and driving stakes and all that, Lord. It was your grace to us to help us. But I thought that's what made a spiritual person. All my Christian life, I wanted to be a spiritual person. But my goal to being spiritual was tainted by men. That's what they taught me spiritual was. I believe, Lord. I believe I'm looking at it in the right way. If I'm not, help me. I believe to be spiritual is to discern, to scrutinize, to examine. It's not to be bitter and critical and harsh and mean and all that sort of thing. It's not to just to judge others. It's to judge ourselves. The human part. The things around us. The things we're going to say. Oh, if preachers would do this, Lord. They'd scrutinize their sermons. Look at their sermons. Lord, this is something that you gave me years ago. I pray I never lose it. And when I go to studying on something, I look at it and look at it. And then I run out to the end of that sermon. And then I ask myself these simple questions. So once I've preached this, once I've said these things, read these words, read these quotes, what good will it do? What benefit will it be? Help me, Lord. Help every man of God that we do so. We want to be spiritual, Lord Jesus. We may never have visions. We may never prophesy. Some of these people may never speak in tongues of men or of angels. But help them to see they can walk a walk and live a life every day on spiritual discernment. And you consider them a spiritual child of God. Though others would look at them and see no manifestation of tongues, or no manifestation of falling out, or quivering, or shaking, or anything like that. And we believe in all of those things. Yet, Lord, many people do those, and they're not spiritual, for they do not discern. And they'll hear rumor and gossip, and they allow themselves to be pulled right down into that and be tainted. And their image is changed. And they become the very thing that people are saying about them. Help me, God. Help me, God. I want to be what you say, not what the gossipers say. I want to be what you say, not what the complainers say, Lord God. Hallelujah. If you feel that way with me tonight, would you just raise your hand to the Lord? This is the request of our hearts, Lord Jesus. Lord, I've been honest with them tonight. I need to grow in this, Lord. Help me, God. Help me to take the high road. Help me, Lord, not to be brought down. Lord Jesus, to walk above the realm of carnality. For the carnal mind is enmity against God. I don't want to preach sermons because this man preaches this or that one. I want you to lead me on what to preach. I don't want to react because this one said this and that one said that. I want to be led of the Spirit of God. May these people, Lord, make us spiritual. Make us spiritual Christians, Lord God. I've had dreams. I've had visions. You've spoken to me many times and showed me many things. I thought that was spiritual. But Lord, I can realize a person could have all those manifestations and still not be spiritual at all. I want to be spiritual. Lord Jesus, be the governor. The governor. Don't just live in me, but govern me, Lord God. Hallelujah. Govern these husbands in their homes. Govern these wives. These young people, the deacons, all the ministers, all of us, Lord, those that will string this service, wherever they are, govern us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Can we just raise our hands in His presence? Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We confess our shortcomings, our faults to you tonight, Lord, believing that you're our high priest. The prophet said you can only do for us in heaven as we confess on earth. And Lord, I confess to you tonight my frailties, my shortcomings, and I say to you tonight, Lord God, I need help. I need help with these things, Lord. Help me that I can rise above it, Lord, and be a spiritual man. Preach what you tell me to preach. Be led of the Holy Ghost, not rumors, not gossip. This one said this and that one said that. God, I want to preach your word. I want to be inspired, Lord Jesus, to feed your sheep. Oh, grant it, Lord. May every young girl, every young boy, help them to realize they don't have to wait till they become 40 or 50 or 60, but they can obtain this. Oh, I would to God I could have heard this when I was 18. Been able to apply it to my life. Oh God, I feel like I could have been a better person, a more productive Christian, but somehow, Lord, somehow you waited till I become now an old man till this realization struck me. But then I'm reminded of what your prophet said, that if he could have give you 25 years, if he'd choose that last 25 from 75 to 100. And that shows me something, Lord. It's not just our strength, our vitality, our youth. We become more understanding, more wisdom, know how to use what you've given us. Teach us, Lord God. Teach us, Lord. May the mind which is in Christ Jesus be in every believer, Lord. Oh, grant it, I pray. I hear your prophet said in souls in prison now, now the mind that was in Christ Jesus is in every believer. There is the soul. Grant it, Lord. I don't want just the quotes in the scriptures, but your mind to know what you want done with the word. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we just worship Him together now? Sing something for us. Harry, let's just lead us in worship. Friends, I want you to be honest. Don't look around. Don't think about your wife, your husband sitting there by you. But I want you to look at you tonight. Is the mind of Christ leading you at work, on your job, your relation to people you come to church here with? Is it the mind of Christ directing you? Is it Him that's pulsating out of your life and you discern all things? Your answers to other people, the way you behave, the way you do. Oh, I know this is not deep to a lot of people. A lot of people would laugh at it, make fun of it, but I really don't care because I know it's the truth. One of the greatest sermons Brother Branham ever preached, in my opinion, is Future Home. Before Brother Branham ever preaches that sermon, he compliments the people at Branham Tabernacle because he'd went to a motel and a restaurant and another motel and a restaurant. And those people there were complimenting the people who came to his church and said, Brother Branham, that's some of the nicest people I've ever seen. And he said, see, that's your behavior. That's the way you deal with people. That's the way you treat people. And he said, to me, that makes you the salt of the earth. Friends, that's the spirit this message was brought in. Many people have got away from that. To them, they laugh at that. If you hear them say, preach on stuff like that, it don't even matter to them no more. Hey? But yet, Brother Branham identified that as our behavior, our character, the salt of the earth. It still matters the way we treat people. It matters the way we behave ourselves, the way we conduct our business. It matters to Jesus Christ. It matters, friends. It's important. That's spiritual. We discern. What you do is reflecting on Christ and reflecting on this church. Is that right? It's reflecting on the name of Christianity. Amen. Oh, God. If you don't need prayer for tonight, would you pray for me? I want to be more like Him. I want to be spiritual. I want to discern. I want to hear His voice. I want His mind. I want to feel about things the way He does. Love what He loves. Hate what He hates. Desire what He desires. Want what He wants. Hallelujah.
I need more of you.
Lord Jesus.
That's the way it's got to be.
Let's worship Him now.
More of you.
More of you, Jesus.
Oh. Till there's no room,
no room
left in me.
Thank you, Lord God.
All those wasted hours and minutes, they're yours now.
Give them to you now,
from
Jesus.
The start to the finish, I need more of you in me. I need more of you, Lord. That's the way got to be. Fill me with more of you till there's no room left in me. All those wasted hours and minutes, oh, they're yours now. From the start to the finish,
Jesus.
I need more.
I need more
of you.
Oh, Lord God.
Oh,
of your forgiveness, more of your mercy, Lord. Till there's no more left in me. Oh, those wasted hours and minutes, Jesus, spare your time from the start to the finish. I need more of you, Lord, I need more.
I need more of you in me. Surround.
God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God as we sing it. Surround me, Lord.
Every day.
Surround me. Hallelujah. Service in the morning. God bless you. Surround me, Jesus. Be a trustee meeting in my office after the church, after the service. God bless you. Let your presence fill this place. Oh, surround me, my Lord.
Surround me, oh Lord. I need you. Surround me, oh Lord. Let your presence this place, oh, surround me, oh Lord, surround me, oh Lord, surround me, oh Lord, let your presence.